I didn't eat. I didn't have time to eat. When I did, it was over a trash can. I got sick a couple times. I remember just my nerves just kind of got to me. But I used to sleep at night in my office. And, you know, I remember thinking, I was like, man, is it going to be like this the rest of my life?
This is Something from Nothing. And on the show this week is a story of how Andy Carlos went from the tech world, living in Boston, to creating Midtown Market, a local specialty grocery store in Western Kentucky, something this area has never seen from nothing. Oh yeah, to finish Andy's thought on before, he doesn't sleep in his office every night, nor does he get sick from nerves that come with the grocery business. For him though, it'd be worth it.
I still would have been more scared not doing the idea later on in life. Waking up after a good night's sleep, waking up, putting on my shoes, thinking, I wish when I was in my mid-20s, I followed my dream and opened up that business.
Andy and I met at the store and decided on the storage building as the best place for noise control. We used a couple of chairs next to our creative beverages. I flipped on my recorder and started with this question.
All right, so most of the people that I've interviewed on this show are artists, musicians, so they're like living the dream from childhood, right? They grew up being an artist, being a musician, whatever, and decided they're just going to continue that. But I don't think most people grow up thinking I'm going to get into the grocery business. So where did that start? Let's just start from that.
Yeah, definitely never grew up thinking I'd be in the grocery business. I always have kind of that running joke that a lot of people that go in the technology world, you know, they eventually go into the grocery industry. So people get a kick out of that. But no, I really consider myself have always been a foodie. I like fine foods. I love different cheeses and pairings and things, and trying different foods around the world. There's not really a whole lot that I won't try, and you know, there's definitely not a lot that I don't like. So I like to learn different cultures, bring in different items. It's such a fun industry to be in because you're constantly seeing new items and products come through, and it's been real fun.
As Andy mentioned, he worked in the technology field before entering the grocery business. His job's in Boston. And is it just me? Or is there a little bit of northern accent lingering from this former Massachusetts citizen who is a native Kentuckian? Anyway, living in Boston provided him an opportunity to gain cultural perspective. And this foodie, he gained an appreciation from a different way of shopping for food.
Kind of really falling in love with little corner store market types. You know, a lot of farm-to-fork restaurants, eateries, specialty stores, not necessarily how I was brought up, you know, going to one store that offers everything. It was neat going to, you know, one store to get bread, another store to get meat, specialty cheese shops, things like that. So living up north kind of really opened my eyes and made me appreciate some of the finer things that aren't necessarily offered down here in home. And you know, coming back to see my parents and my family during the holidays, and you know, us going to big box stores to get our food, I've always thought that, you know, Paducah and Western Kentucky would benefit from a small store that, you know, specializes in different foods that aren't typically found around here.
So the idea and passion was set into motion. As far as his career, Andy wasn't searching for a way out or anything, but this idea just came to grow on him when he would return to Paducah to visit family. He saw that they were doing a lot of shopping at big box stores, and he imagined something different.
It all kind of started, I would think, with produce. I had an idea of, you know, having more organic selection of produce that was grown locally. And the more I did research on my business plan, or really at that time, it was just an idea, didn't keep me up at night. I just, you know, I loved fresh produce. You can taste the difference, you know, cooking with it. And, you know, it was just a big big difference. And having the idea of, you know, having something back in home that would offer that, I just kind of saw the need.
But the more research he did on that idea, having organic in the state of Kentucky is tough because of the seasons. The use of herbicides and pesticides make the USDA rating hard to pass.
So then my idea kind of spun into, well, you know, what's more important to me? Having an organic tomato, say from Mexico, or having a organic having a tomato grown in somebody's backyard, you know, near us. Mm-hmm. And so the whole local thing kind of really got me going on some of my idea on, you know, what it doesn't necessarily have to be organic. It doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, these bigger organic box stores like Whole Foods and such. It can be, you know, something that's focused on more of a local item, more things that are offered around our area. And, you know, again, being in Kentucky with our seasons, obviously a lot of things can't grow year round here. So, you know, having an idea that I had to make more of a year round destination.
Which led to this thought.
Well, shoot, what if there was a little store that specialized in, you know, local produce and had some local product that was made here in Kentucky, and then they had a big, you know, a high quality meat selection. So, you know, started doing more and more research about meats and different cuts and, you know, things that weren't offered already around us in the big box stores.
And the piece of the idea that really accelerated the process rounded out much of what Midtown Market is today.
Take things that are already on our shelves and put together on simple sides and salads for folks then to take home and enjoy. So we really like to, you know, the whole vision of the store was using the things that we have around us and the things that we have in the store to be able to create the things that we sell today. Hmm. And, you know, I think when I found the concept of the deli, I was doing more and more research and talking to more and more people that owned or operated or worked in a deli up north. And, you know, the sandwiches and the cut meat and cheese, all that was a big deal up there. And, you know, coming up with an idea on, you know, how do we want to make this deli? We want to create specialty sandwiches that, you know, you just can't make at home. You want to bring in a different meat and cheese that's not offered. You know, the idea of the deli concept, working with the produce department and the meats that we had, that's when the idea kind of got real for me. It's something that, you know, that I started putting down on paper. My business plan probably took me, I would say, 2.5-3 years to complete. It started out as an idea that, you know, I thought was, golly, somebody should do this, but I don't want it to be me.
But it was him, and he recalled the moment that this realization came to be.
I was sitting in my apartment in Boston, and I was thinking about the idea, and I remember being so driven about it that night, I couldn't sleep. And I knew it was going to be a real thing because that second day, I thought about it. I couldn't concentrate on anything else. And I was feeding off all these ideas, all these different ways I could take the business. And I remember going to bed that week thinking that I was more scared about not doing it than I was about failing as a business owner.
So the question of the Boston resident of 5 years, was he ready to move back to his small hometown? Well, he gave this story as one reason leaving the big city life would not be difficult. Andy told me he used to leave work at 4:30. He lived about 10 miles from the office, but it took him 45 minutes to get home. Home being near Fenway Park, where the Red Sox play. And besides the time-consuming commute, that parking, man.
It was $35 a tow ticket, or it was $40 to park at Fenway. So you would literally have people save $5 and just get towed. Then you would, you know, paying to park at the game. So I would get off early during game nights, rush home, try to find a parking spot, and very unsuccessful on most game nights. And I would follow a tow truck around, and you know, they would ticket, they would give you the 35 ticket, but if you had, you know, say three or more tickets, then they would tow you. So, you know, following a tow truck around just to park at your apartment at night was frustrating.
And he moved back to Kentucky and was still able to work his day job remotely for a while to maintain a salary while he made preparations in the evening and on the weekends. It was a hustle. After writing the business plan and acquiring the loan, he took the next step.
Looking for property. And there was several attractive offers downtown, and I was thinking, well, you know, I'm just worried downtown being, it would have to be a destination, and man, I'm depend on heavy traffic and would need to be successful. Parking obviously was a big issue. The mall was expensive, and it was had the right traffic count, but it didn't match kind of what my concept was. I wanted to be more of a neighborhood versus a right off the exit next to all the big guys.
Andy weighed his options, and his decision was influenced from advice he received from a family friend in the real estate business. Those sort of relationships are a perk when opening a business in your hometown. So this old grocery store called Myricks, that was open for several years, well, it was for sale. But it was
over my budget, what I could spend on a building.
So he was driving around town with a family friend, and this is when the advice was shared.
And he said every day he talks to business owners that say, you know, this is where I need to be, but this is where I'm going to have to be because, you know, it's got this or it fits my budget. Mm-hmm. And he said, Andy, a lot of those people that say, this is where I need to be, and they don't go to that location, they're the ones that close their doors.
Andy took the advice and decided to make the building happen. So Andy has a location set, a well-located former grocery store. Seems like a good move, maybe even an obvious move. But it wasn't quite as easy as it may sound, putting this in working shape. The owners had been using it simply as storage for a number of years, and frankly, I can speak from personal experience of driving by. Although it had four brick walls and a strong roof, this building had no character. So Andy set out to solve that problem. He called a friend he went to college with who majored in architecture.
And I said, Jenna, I really don't have any money to spend on an architectural design, but I want to give this building character. There's nothing you can do on this building, is there? And I remember her saying, this building had so much potential. It was like an architect's dream because it was starting from nothing. It was a brick building. Right. And, you know, we could do this with the awning or we could do that with the awning and all that. And I remember her just going nuts. I mean, she would, you know, call and email me in the middle of the night with ideas or how do you envision this or how do you envision that? And man, she was huge on the process because it was never, she was very quick to go back to say, this is your baby. How do you want it to be? I need to understand so I can get that on paper. I don't want to build you an idea that you aren't comfortable with or that's not your concept. Mm-hmm. And man, once we got on the same page, she was able to fly and came up with all these great ideas. And, you know, she had the idea about the garden center, where we call the outdoor seating with the big, you know, I was like, I want big barn doors, make it, you know, farmy and barn.
And after the plans were set up, it came time for construction. Andy kept the details of the store under the radar. The general concept was spreading around the small town the way rumors do, but he said he shied away from press or even social media. This created a sense of mystery that provided some opportunities for the construction guys to have some fun.
When they were building the outdoor part with all the wood, barn doors and everything, it started to become a joke with the construction guys on, you know, people stopping asking what it is, who could come up with the most creative ideas. And so I went in there one time, and you know, the foreman, Charlie DeBeau, he was, you know, having a good laugh, and he said, we had this guy pull up and you know, said, what kind of place is this, when's it open? And I heard it's farm fresh, and what is this, you know, what is this wood structure you're building?
And one of the guys had told this passerby
that I was going to have a live cow out there, and you were able to come and milk the cow for fresh milk. And they were pretty convinced the guy believed it. Didn't think it was a great idea, but they're convinced he believed it.
Then a store 4-ish years in the making is about to open.
We said we were going to open the next day at noon, and we had nothing on the shelves. I remember it was all in boxes. And, you know, putting all the products on where they should go. And I had some friends from Louisville, from Paul's Fruits, come over and help us stock all the shelves and everything. And, you know, I remember opening and having aisles of one product that took up the whole aisle just because I didn't have that many things. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of stuff was coming in, a lot of stuff I didn't have, you know, credit on. So a lot of the vendors were like, no, we've got to have 3 verified, you know, good credits from companies in order for us to do business. So, you know, I couldn't really open the door with as much product as I have today.
And day one, before the noon opening, Andy had a kind of important document to acquire.
We had to run to City Hall the day of my opening just to get my business license. I had it all, you know, kind of figured out and called before, but I didn't actually have the certificate. So, you know, having to run down there on my day of, and, you know, we were just going back and forth, and, you know, running around like a headless chicken trying to meet the deadline. And, you know, it was a blast.
He said business really didn't pick up strong until week 2, but initially getting everyone trained was important. And he spoke very highly of his team, not his employees, although technically that's what they are. He has developed an atmosphere where there is a sense of buy-in and ownership. A couple of times in the interview, Andy explains his mentality towards the store as drinking the Kool-Aid. I'd say his employees or team, as Andy would have put it, have done the same. In a totally non-cultish way, of course. They're clearly an important part of the success of the store, and he recognizes this. He shared his hiring philosophy, which he learned from his experience before entering the grocery business.
Hiring somebody that has good manners, that has a personality, you know, easy to get along with, presentable, looks at you in the eye when they talk. You know, things like that have always stood out more to me than, hey, I'm the person that you need. I've got 15 years at a big box store.
But Andy's most important supporters, his parents.
My mom came up to me and said, you know, your father and I have supported you every day, but we went to bed every night thinking you were nuts and that, you know, you weren't going to make it. And it was, they were nervous about that. But, of course, in the daytime, they were nothing but supportive. So if I would have known that they were losing sleep at night thinking I wasn't going to make it, then, I don't know if I would have had the same drive I did.
Andy has drive, but also is successful due to creativity. Lest you fear a story about a grocery store will be lacking in the creative process, something From Nothing always includes, here's Andy explaining an example of how they make the most of their produce to maximize profit.
We've gotten in fresh corn. Fresh corn is delicious. Comes on in here. We sell the, fresh corn, say, 50 cents an ear. Well, we can shuck that corn and put four shucked in a pack and, sell four pack shucks for $4.99. So we're getting over, a dollar an ear of corn. Well, if those don't sell a day or two, we can cut the corn off and do, corn off the cob in a pound container. Mm-hmm. Be able to sell that. When cut corn, doesn't sell, we can do, you can make cornbread, you can make corn chowder, you can use it in soups. So being able to use the things that you have in the store is critical, and that helps kind of help some of those margins, because there is a lot of waste.
In spite of that clever use of food, Andy addressed a common held belief.
It's funny, everybody thinks you own a grocery store, that you're, a hell of a chef, and you eat, fillets and lobster tails all the time. And reality of it is, I Pinterest and I, YouTube and Google things about cooking all the time and throw together things that I have left over in my refrigerator. And my wife and I get excited when we create a dinner based on all expired food, because I didn't have to, buy any of it. So
I didn't ask Andy about numbers or finances, any money, stuff like that. I recently heard that success is best defined as making an impact on people's lives.
Everyone that comes in, you have the potential of changing their day for the better. They're either going to come in hungry, had a bad morning, have a delicious sandwich and a great afternoon, or they're going to come home, or they're going to come to the store tired after a long day's work, but hey, you're going to make a delicious, easy dinner for them to be able to prepare for them or their family, and, thinking that that could change their night so they could do it all over again the next day is big.
By that standard, it's clear. Andy is highly successful. This has been Something From Nothing, a podcast about the creative process and the individuals involved. You can find more about Midtown Market on Instagram at midtown.market. They're also on Facebook. And you can look them up on the internet as far as a website goes too. Just Google them. Something From Nothing is also on Facebook and Instagram. This episode was edited by Taylor Inman. It was produced by me, your host, Justin Lewis. Thanks for listening.